Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Gift of Gaming post show, the show that comes after the normal show when you're on Patreon to listen to. I am joined by the console hating, PC playing, lore seeking, full time Canadian himself, Chris Robbins, and the artist formerly known as Luke Maycock, to discuss the death of video games.
I would like to let it be known I am still known as Luke Maycock.
Artist formerly known as Mr. Xbox Game Pass. Not his full name.
What did I just
say? The artist formerly known as Luke Maycock. people still call me Luke Maycock from time to time.
Sorry. The artist formerly known as Mr. Xbox Games Pass himself, Luke Maycock. There we go. I get there eventually. I thought I was nailing that as well. Hot damn. Well, you can't win them all, as they say. Guys, I have a interesting article here for you about Ubisoft being sued. And in the article, it mentions a movement called Stop Killing Games. It's one that I've seen kind of flash across my own web searches over the last 2 weeks. And I thought it'd be good to maybe have a quick discussion. So I'll read out the article and we can have the chit chat in this post show. Ubisoft sued over The Crew. This is coming from Polygon by Nicole Carpenter. Two Californian gamers are suing Ubisoft in a proposed class action lawsuit over the developer and publisher's recent shutdown of racing game, The Crew. Ubisoft released The Crew in December 2014 and shut down its servers after a decade due to, quote, server infrastructure and licensing constraints. After the servers shut down, the game became totally unplayable due to its lack of a single-player offline mode. When the shutdown was announced on December 14, 2023, Ubisoft did offer refunds to people who recently purchased The Crew, but given the age of the game, a lot of players were unable to participate in the offer. Quote, imagine you buy a pinball machine, and years later you enter your den to go play it, only to discover that all the paddles are missing, the pinball and bumpers are gone, and the monitor that proudly displayed your unassailable high score was removed, lawyers wrote in the lawsuit, which was filed November 4th in a Californian court and reviewed by Polygon. Quote, turns out the pinball manufacturer decided to come into your home, gut the insides of the pinball machine, and remove your ability to play the game that you bought and thought you owned. The lawsuit alleges that this is exactly what happened when Ubisoft shut down its servers for The Crew in 2024, suddenly leaving consumers unable to access something they purchased and assumed they owned. The lawsuit says players were duped in two ways. First, by allegedly misleading players into thinking they were buying a game when they were merely licensing it, even if a player bought a physical disc. Second, that Ubisoft, quote, falsely represented that The Crew's files were on its physical discs to access freely and that the discs weren't simply a key for the game. Ubisoft is violating California consumer protection laws, the lawsuit alleges. Both plaintiffs purchased the game well into its lifespan in 2018 and 2020, respectively, on physical discs. The lawsuit says neither would have purchased the game on the same terms, i.e. price, knowing the game's servers could be shut down, rendering The Crew's totally unplayable even in an offline mode. The lawsuit also covers the backlash to Ubisoft's decisions to shut down the servers and not include an offline version of the game. It cites several games that turned servers off but patched in an offline option like Knockout City and two of Ubisoft's own games, Assassin's Creed 2 and Assassin's Creed 3. Ubisoft responded to the criticism and vowed to include offline versions of its existing games in the Crew franchise, like The Crew 2 and The Crew Motorfest, but the lawsuit says this is nothing to amend the problem of The Crew's server shutdown. The plaintiffs are looking for the court to approve the lawsuit as a class action, meaning other The Crew players may get involved. They're looking for monetary relief and damages for those impacted by the server shutdown. The lawsuit follows a campaign from YouTube creator Ross Scott to urge companies to, quote, stop killing games, a movement that kicked off after The Crew announcement was made. The Stop Killing Games movement is petitioning the European Union to force game companies to keep games in playable states. It currently has more than 379,000 signatures. As media continues to go more and more digital, the issue of owning versus licensing, especially in video games, becomes more of a problem. While some people are taking games into their own hands, like with the player-created The Crew Unlimited, the onus is largely on companies and what they do to preserve their games and servers. But in California, Governor Gavin Newsom recently signed a bill into law that requires companies to tell consumers they're buying licenses, not games themselves, in online storefronts. The law itself, introduced by California Assemblywoman Jackie Irwin, is actually partly inspired by Ubisoft's shutdown of The Crew. The law, however, doesn't do anything about the fact that games are licensed and not purchased outright, nor does it stop a company from rendering a game unplayable, but it does in theory offer transparency on the issue. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I don't know. I just, any sort of online only game, I just always, you know, it's an assumed liability. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know that they have to host that on a server. And one of those days, one of these days, but, they are going to take down the server.
But like, do people know that? That's my thing. Like, when you're going in to buy a game, you know, at any sort of age, like, we're into video games, we understand these things are playing on a server or whatever else. Are people actually...
I just don't understand, like, how people could not know that, like, since this is online, somebody's paying for this game to run, even though, even if it's online, free online, like, it's, there's a cost to it. And one of these days, you know, that they're just going to shut that down.
What about the single player modes? You mentioned it earlier on in our main show, the idea that that's single player game.
Yeah, yeah. I don't agree with that. But this whole, like, stop killing games, like, it's I've heard about it. I've heard the pitch. In the state it's in right now, isn't going to work because it will kill live servers. Like, how's League of Legends supposed to exist with a single player mode? Like, one of these days, that game is inevitably going to shut down too. And then, yeah, you're fucked. You're just going to have to eat that shit, though. Like, you can't be given a free single player League of Legends. Like, I don't even, I guess you could. What would that even be, though? Even other live service games, they stop maintaining it.
Well, it is possible to do. Like, there is a single player League of Legends game within League, which is you play against bots. That already exists within the game. Like, that's, you have to play that to train up and stuff like that.
Okay, I guess, yeah, it's there. Oof, that would be a rough future, though.
It's just same, but bots. Like, it's for sure a worse version of the game than it would be massively multiplayer.
And it would only come to that when there's no interest in the game and the cost of holding onto a server doesn't become, which doesn't, you know, doesn't seem to be the future for League of Legends by any stretch of the imagination at this stage.
No, we're nowhere close to that.
But
that's,
I think,
just the extreme.
I think this is more looking at games whereby, and it's kind of where my issue comes with games in terms of, hey, I own this physical copy of this disc that I've purchased at a store and no one's told me that I've licensed this. No one has told me that this is a key in order to play a game that's inherently online, and the moment someone arbitrarily decides this is no longer feasible, I can't play that anymore.
We just skip that shit. We're just mashing the start button to get to the main menu so we can start the game. It's always been there.
Yeah, I think but I think in the terms of use, yeah, sure. But I think it needs to be, I agree with the argument that it needs to be more upfront for the consumer to understand. I would also like to see, you know, the way Minecraft used to work, where you used to, like, it was Minecraft and you could play it online. It's like you could play Minecraft online if you, you know, connected it to your server.
Yeah.
I would like it to be possible for games to have, like, personal server integration. So, like, basically, say, go back to League of Legends for an example. If Riot do shut down their server sometime, and I still say it was a paid game, I still have a copy of League of Legends, all my mates have copies of League of Legends, we should be allowed to, like, host our own server and play it that way.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know?
Like, stuff like that makes sense too. Companies aren't going to release it right now because it would just split their player bases way too much.
Yeah, but no, yeah, exactly.
But as a closing offer, do you know what I mean? In terms of if you're not doing this anymore, at least open it up to that this is a possibility.
Okay, so what if live service game, online only, but that company just straight up, like, goes bankrupt and forecloses. There's no one left to do any of that.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Oh, well, I think in that case, I think that's a different kettle of fish. That's someone taking the option themselves with nothing in kind of, I suppose, pressuring them from a heavy, like, oh, we're going bankrupt, to say, oh God, we're going to have to shut this down. It's like, well, this is, you know, and that happens in every aspect of life, that if something goes bankrupt, whatever else. Like, I mean, I could have a fucking gift card for whatever. If it goes bankrupt, I ain't getting that money back. Do you know what I mean? I think that's for me an acceptable level of risk when it comes to purchasing. But the games thing at the minute, I have a serious issue.
I think we have to broaden our expectations and accept that risk for any game we knowingly play that's online. Like World of Warcraft, it's been a dying game for ages and people have sunk a lot of money in it. But if they shut the servers off, like, I don't expect them to give us a one player game, or like one player version of World of Warcraft.
No, yeah, for sure.
Or at least, like, continue supporting it themselves, or even set up the servers. Like, people have done that on their own, just through, you know.
Yeah, there's like vanilla WoW, but like actual vanilla WoW, not through Blizzard vanilla WoW. Where they, like, fork from patches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The real hardcore.
But I'm assuming, I don't understand the whole infrastructure well, but those vanilla, like, WoW things, they're, like, legally not That's a gray area. Oh, no,
they're
right?
super illegal.
So yeah. my thing about it would be is that if your game is going and you are no longer going to make any sort of monetary surplus from your game, because, like, well, we're shutting it down. There's no more money coming in. This, we're dusting our hands of this. Surely then at that point, it's no longer, it shouldn't be a legal gray area. We should open up to, like, you can still play this game. Like, as providing people, like, to be able to play the game. I don't mean that someone else should be able to make.
I mean, now we're getting into the personal game preservation, like emulator, yeah. ROM kind of territory, which is kind of a different argument. The argument here is, I don't think that company is obligated to provide you, like, to build the infrastructure. Like, we're closing down. We're not going to build you.
What about a game that has a single player? So this is why the crew is kind of is being the one that's kind of, I suppose, litmus tested for all this in terms of all this kind of.
If the crew has a single player mode, then you absolutely the.
But harping back to what we were talking about, with single player modes that can only be played online, that shit's got to go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? All right. Yeah. Fair.
And because that is killing. That is literally killing a game.
We have that. Like, we still have that. Like, the new God of War Ragnarok or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you need to log into PlayStation Network account just to play it. Like, you have to be online just to play it. Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Got to do it with Rockstar. You shouldn't have to be online.
Yeah, that's a little bit cringe. I think the games that came out around the same time as the crew all had that same model where it was like the world was populated somewhat by bots, but they had a heavy integration of other multiplayer users who were playing at the same time. Like, you're kind of, do you remember Watch Dogs was kind of the impetus for that? The trailer for Watch Dogs came out and it was like, other people can hack into your game and you'll have people like running around your world hacking, like counter hacking you. And this became this really exciting idea. There's a Tom Clancy-esque, The Division, was it?
I think
the first Division game was built in the same way. That E3 was crazy. None of those expectations came to fruition. But there was like I think this is a very specific problem that will only be a specific problem for a while, because the problem with the crew is there is a single player version of it, but it's objectively a bad version of the game, because that the game was designed around it. It's not that you need to have other players interacting with your worlds to play the game, but the game was designed with that being an active factor at all times.
So I don't mind the idea that, let's say, the single player mode in a game is arguably less attractive than the online mode. But that doesn't mean that I should just not be allowed to play it.
No,
whether it's worse or better, I should be able to make, it's like, if it's worse or better, that's cool, I can make a decision, but I shouldn't be forced not to play it at that point.
But they're the same thing. Like, the single player and the online mode for a lot of games of that era are the same thing. There's only one mode, and it's, you play single player online and people flood into your game and interact with your play. That's kind of, that was the game design philosophy behind them. So there aren't even separate modes. It's just, you go into the main menu and you hit play. Exactly like Dark Souls, yeah, where people invade your games or you summon people to help you and stuff like
that. Dark Souls is definitely built as, you know, a solo adventure. Even the way you do co-op, it's like, it's not a permanent thing.
No,
it's momentarily summoned in to help you fight a boss or, you know, stab you.
And so that's...
then they're gone.
And so you could, like... I think The Crew is one of those games, like, it's kind of in the title, it's The Crew. Your crew would show up.
If it was The Vision.
Yeah, it was part of The Vision. And I think that was a bit of a flash in the pan game design. Maybe it'll come back someday. But I think Dark Souls or Elden Ring and stuff are the only ones that really do it. I think Cyberpunk might have had it a bit, where people like invade your game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's baked into the game experience. But then going back to The Crew and The Division, baked into the game experience. And you could play it, and if you never ran into any multiplayer people or never saw any of those sigils on the ground in Dark Souls, you'd technically be having like a worse experience. But it's that experience, like,
yeah,
it's so.
I mean, the both the experiences are actually comparable in Dark Souls. I personally love the chaos of getting invaded. Even in later on, they introduced that you could only be invaded if you were playing co-op with someone else. So, like, if you summon someone into your game, that opens you up to be invaded.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you used an item that said you can just get invaded, even if I'm playing solo. And I always put that shit on, man.
Bring it on.
I ain't never summoning no one.
But my thing about it would be there's two train of thoughts, and we'll kind of finish it on this point, like, if you guys have anything else to say. But, like, imagine Dark Souls integrated that into their game. And they were like, okay, well, we're turning the servers off, so you can't play Dark Souls anymore, if that's the way it was integrated.
But I didn't get into... See, this is the difference between a game that has multiplayer and a live service game. Like, when you sign up for a live service game, I feel like there should be this expectation that, like, that could close...
So I'm with you. So the live service thing, I'm 100% with you on. My only gripe is that this idea that if the game has to be your single-player experience, which the game could be built on, has to be played online, and all of a sudden that can stop your gaming experience, that's where I draw the line. But another part that I'm interested in, which I think is just... Like I said, I know the wording and the legitimacy of the Stop Killing Games movement could be... Like, I need to do more reading on it to know if I'm fully in for it, or if I think there's some things that won't work. But I think it's important that the idea is being brought to the forefront, to be like, there needs to be some extra protections here. Like the idea that in California, they're saying, well, no, you actually have to tell people that they are no longer purchasing a game. That purchasing has to be ruled out of your wording, because they're not purchasing it. They are licensing the ability to play this game for a period of whatever time. That needs to be brought to the forefront, because I think the average game, we're all into games, we play them all the time, but the average gamer doesn't know that they're licensing a game.
You're like, right, but it's been there since we were playing. I was playing Super Nintendo. I don't own that game. I'm not allowed to, like, pop it open or, like, you know, mod it or anything like that. That shit is still strictly
illegal. Oh, yeah. But you can, like, in terms of your Super Mario game, that's never going to be taken... Like, to play that game as it is never going to be taken away from you, because it's built on that thing and it can't be turned off.
If they had a way to, like, update the firmware on my Super Nintendo, they could absolutely turn it off.
That's what I mean. That's a massive no-no as far as I'm concerned, because I bought this, I purchased it, I play it.
That's been the case since Xbox 360 and PS3. Like, because
it's all, as far as I'm concerned, like, every time you boot up a game, it says this. Movies
and CDs,
even
and
a movie. Own that movie.
No,
you're licensed. That you're not allowed to re-record. You're not allowed to do anything except for watch it in your personal house.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the license.
That's fine, but you'll always be able to watch that in your house. It's not going to be that one day you put the disc on and it says, this movie is no longer watchable, we've turned off the
service. If they had the option, they found out you were, like, broadcasting it to the neighborhood or, like, charging money to people coming over.
No, absolutely.
They could just, like, hit a button and turn that off. That's...
But what I mean to say is, you license it under these personal terms that I'm going to watch this movie by myself. And if that's all I ever did... making it comparable to what's happening in video games with this server thing, and I'm not saying this is a global issue and it's happened to all games, but, like, it's a thing to be considered, that if they suddenly say, oh, you know, the way you haven't broken any of the rules, you've just been watching this yourself and enjoying it yourself, and it's your favorite movie and you like to watch it every year, you can't watch it this year, you can't watch it ever again, we're switching it off.
Yeah, but they have the to your point, Chris, they have the power to do that, and the point I was making is they've had the power specifically for video games since Xbox 360, PS3, because the Sega Dreamcast got fucked so badly over the DRM hacking that went on with it. Like, it was just, they couldn't protect their IPs for the life of them. And so since online play came in and became a big thing, they got the rights to do that with, they got the infrastructure to do that with games, to do it with movies. Like, I've had Blu-rays over the past couple of years that I can't play because the Blu-ray app doesn't like the HDMI cable I'm using for it.
But
it says that this HDMI cable isn't graded for DRM protection, so we're not letting you play your movie.
Yeah,
it's the physical disc.
No, but that's fine. But that's not saying you can't watch this ever. It's like you just need the appropriate HDMI.
Yeah, but that's...
It's the same principle.
Yeah, it's a license.
They can take it away from you.
You agree to that license at purchase or transaction, and you have to abide by those rules.
Which is
the same thing.
They decide what the rules are as well.
But which is fine. But what I'm saying is, in what's not comparable is that regardless of, let's say, if you have the right HDMI or you don't have the right state, there's an option for you to continue to use that product. With the game is like The Crew, that option is taken away. You just cannot
continue
to play this.
The option of making you buy something else is even more malicious.
What do you mean?
They're forcing you to go. This actually happened. There was an article with Ubisoft, oddly enough. They released a DLC to one of their games, and they locked you out of the base game if you didn't own the DLC.
That was recent,
wasn't it? But this one, it's what I'm talking about is consumer choice, right? I know what you're saying about the maliciousness of saying you need to buy this to continue playing or whatever else. I get that. But I still have a choice in the matter in that situation. In the opposite side of things, what happened with The Crew, I don't have a choice. I'm just told no, and there's nothing I can do about it. And that's where I have the issue. Because if you're talking about the HDMI side of things, whatever, for the Blu-ray, if I want to, if I really want to, I can. I can still watch this. I just buy the right, correctly graded HDMI, and I plug it in, and I watch my movie. With the people who bought The Crew, they can't play that anymore, ever.
All right, your entire PS5 library, PS5 Pro, oh, you have PS5 Pro, but anyways, they were to release PS5 Pro. Now your library... anything in it is no longer playable. They say you have to buy the PS5 Pro in order to play your games.
Oh yeah, no.
How are you reacting? You accepted that shit?
No. But again, it's not a comparable thing. What they're saying is the HDMI has to be there, so it's following under the things that can't be modded or edited, or so they're satisfied.
They can say the same thing about the PS5 Pro.
Yeah, but the PS5 Pro is a €100 product. A HDMI cable, that one that they might want, is what, 25 quid?
I can't afford a new HDMI cable.
How much is the Crew?
Yeah,
a buck. Like, it's what, 14 years old? Like,
I missed your point around making someone buy something else as the malicious thing. Do you mean like
that you would have to buy another HDMI cable in order to continue watching your Blu-ray? That's more malicious than not allowing you to watch it at all?
I am not following this at all.
So you own this movie. You own the Blu-ray, I own the Xbox. You wanted to watch it again one day, and then all of a sudden it doesn't work because of an HDMI. Like, and that was something they just added, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But he updated it after he owned it.
Yeah. But Luke has the choice to continue enjoying that product if he so chooses.
But I don't. Like, I don't have another HDMI. It's my...
No. But I mean to say is that that's a thing. What I mean to say is there's still an option to watch this. You just have to buy X, right? And I'm not saying this is good, right? I'm not saying that I'm for this. But what I'm saying is, on the other side of things, they just said, no, there's nothing you can do ever. You can no longer play this thing you purchased. It's done. We're done. You have the disc, you have whatever, but you can. There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can purchase. There's nothing that can remedy this.
I mean, you can even say the same thing, but like, if you had a normal Nintendo game, you really wanted to play it, but normal Nintendo is discontinued. You can't buy it. You're fucked out of playing that game, too. Like, they don't have to...
I think the nuance in our argument comes up where, so you can... only play certain region-locked stuff, like Smash Brothers Melee NTSC. You can only play that on an NTSC television from that. If you try and play it on a PAL television over here, the game won't play.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Right? Shit. So there is stuff that is that is locked by infrastructure. But I think the nuanced point that the two of us are making is that there's nothing physically stopping that movie playing through that HDMI. All the hardware is there. It's like a perfectly functioning HDMI. It plays loads of other movies. It's the people who own the licensing rights making a decision themselves that are being like, well, no, like we don't like something about this HDMI cable, or we don't like whatever, go get another one. Like, it's that they, it's not actually, there's nothing physically stopping that from playing.
Oh, listen, I am not for either of, like, I'm not saying that that's good at all, but the crux of my argument is that there's still an option to play this thing. It's bad practice. It's gross. I don't like that they would make you do that. But what I'm saying is this thing that you bought, although you have to pay extra to get this thing, it's still, like, there's a choice for the consumer there. They can just be like, I'm not fucking paying whatever to continue watching this. Fuck that. But like, if I was sitting down playing The Crew and I was like the Crew's biggest fan, I had put hours and hours into my favorite game of all time.
Crew's only fan.
But if I was like that, they haven't said to me, you can just pay this and you can still play it because we're shutting down our servers. It's like, goodbye. You can't play anymore.
I know what you're saying. I think there's a point where you just have to let it go. Same thing, like, you know how there was the VHS versus beta? A bunch of people bought beta and then all of a sudden... just wasn't working out, so they stopped making the machines. Now you can never watch those movies again. Like, that's... it just happens, right? Even just VHS. You can own a VHS, like a tape of a movie made by Sony, but you can't expect Sony to build you more VCRs so you can watch that movie.
No. But what you can do in that situation is you can get that VCR because, you know, people have done it, we've done it. You can get that converted to a DVD player and continue enjoying the thing that you had. What I'm saying is, in those situations,
I don't even know how you do that.
Well, like, we got loads of home videos.
That's still probably illegal.
No. We got a whole lot of home videos converted to DVD because we could no longer, like, we didn't have a VHS player anymore. Like, it just didn't. But we got them all converted to DVDs, and we were able to continue watching them. The There's a choice for the consumer in that position. My argument is there is no choice for the consumer in the example of the crew, and that's what I have a problem with. Sure, it might cost you money to convert the things over, but it's a choice.
You're trying to bring it back to the stop killing games thing. That
give us the choice, because if without the choice, it's like, and again, my argument with that is that just these all these things that people put work and toil in, they just die. There's no way to play them. There's no way to enjoy them in any way, shape, or form.
I think this is going to kill live service games if it goes through, because there's now too much liability for the companies to maintain these.
But I mean, for live service games, I think, like, again,
that's what this was, though. This was a live service game
with a single player mode built into it. And if it has a single player mode built, my thing about it would be, if you're building a live service game, don't have a single player mode in it. If it's going to be a thing that you're going to cut off at some point. But if someone can enjoy from start to finish a single player version of this game, that you're like, I'm not interested in the online part, but I want to play it by myself, and you give me that, taking that away is what I have the gripe with.
Yeah, I do. I think I do fall more on Chris's side for this. It's like the point I made at the beginning still stands, like with regards to League of Legends, where like there is a single player mode of League of Legends where you just play bots. There can be a single player version of the crew where you just play with bot AI cars. Mm-hmm. That totally can exist. It's just because it's the crew, specifically the crew. Like, I've only played one of the crew games. There might only be two. But I've played The Crew 2, and it's a fine game. It's grand. I didn't play it for very long. But it's when I hear that The Crew is like they're shutting down the servers and you can no longer play it online, or you can no longer, if you can no longer play the game, I don't like that. I think I'm more on your side here. I think I would like there should be an option with a game for The Crew where you can just play.
And The Crew is probably a bad example because none of us are interested in The Crew. But I mean, right. to say,
it's also, like, I don't know anything about The Crew. I thought it was a live service game. Like, I thought that's what we're arguing about.
No.
So this is where I don't know enough about the Stop Killing Games initiative to be like, if you're a purely live service game thing, like League of Legends, that's based off like a live service thing. There isn't a full player, full game.
I think it's Pirate Software or whatever. He read through it and he's just like, yeah, too many arguments and like holes not brought up, because he was the one that mentioned or confirmed that like nothing about live services mentioned here. And if this is a broad, you know,
absolutely, and that's my thing about it, where the language needs to be really important. And Luke, I know we've gone way over time here, you know, and we need to move on with our lives, but I'll just lay it at this. Imagine Red Dead Redemption 2. Imagine Rockstar goes bust and I own a copy of Red Dead Redemption 2 and all Rockstar's services go down. We can no longer play Red Dead Redemption 2. Right. And I don't mean that in the terms of bad Rockstar. I mean just in terms of holding on to great media that we can still access and play.
But that's still a bit of a different example, because that is a single player game with a multiplayer,
which is where the Stop Killing Games initiative needs to be clearer, I think, based off that, which is probably something we can all agree on.
Can I inject one last
thing? Of course you can. Look, if you're happy to, yeah, go for it.
Stop Killing Games, that initiative, Ross Scott, the guy who does it, is of Accursed Farms fame. Have you ever watched or listened to Freeman's Mind?
No.
Chris, you'd probably dig it. It's an old Machinima series from like 15 years ago, where he plays Half-Life 1 and basically narrates the thoughts of Gorman Freeman.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
That dude. It's so funny. You should check out Freeman's Mind if you're a Half-Life fan. But yeah, I just wanted to leave it on that.
It's a cool dude. This post show is...
Counter-Strike's a good example, too. Pointless without online.
This has been our post show, which is now approaching half an hour. Outrageous for a post show. The longest post show in the history of the Gifted Game podcast. Congratulations, guys. We're breaking records here on the post show podcast. We win. To our listeners, if you enjoy this and you're like, wow, I can't believe I've gotten all this stuff for such a little price per month, tell your friends. It'll help us loads. Luke, Chris, thank you so much for joining me on that lovely, lively conversation. And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.